Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it.
The Debatables
on Dash Radio, part of the Almighty Baller Radio Network.
Jimmy starts the drive, step back in the air.
Oh, happy step back and kiss myself. Big time plays, big time plays.
Woo! Butler.
Talking about the Chicago Bulls and NBA.
Your best source for coverage from the Madhouse on Madison.
The ceiling is the roof.
In one corner, host Jordan Malley.
His talk about patience with this team and his talk about direction, he says that the level of patience needs to come with fans and that this thing can't happen overnight. Well, obviously it can't happen overnight, but where have we gone in the last 3 years that says that we have any type of future?
And in the other corner, co-host Matt Peck.
But there are plenty of people out there in Bulls fandom who might look at that potential playoff matchup and say, hey, they can upset the one or the two seed. Maybe they'll get to the conference finals. Maybe they'll get to the finals. There are Bulls fans out there dumb enough to believe that. If you consider yourself one of that population, I say for shame, wake the fuck up. But those people, those Bulls fans do exist.
Who's better, LeVar or Michael Jordan?
Like looking, finds Rose. Rose trying to get open, fires away. Bang! It's over! The Bulls win at the buzzer!
Kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
That's our goal, to get younger, at positions, to get more athletic, and at the same time to retool, not rebuild.
The Debatables starts now on Dash Radio.
What's up and welcome to a special emergency podcast for the Debatables brought to you by Almighty Baller Radio. My name is Jordan Malley along with Matt Peck. We are live on Dash Radio every Thursday from 6 to 7 a.m. and 11 to noon Central Time, broadcasting on the Almighty Baller channel. We are live there every single Thursday. You can follow us on Twitter at Debatables and all of our content over at almightyballer.com. You can follow Matt on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the draft night, or the lack of enjoyment of the draft night after what had happened. a lot of very angry Bulls fans out there this morning, and I honestly can say that we are going to dive into a lot of this, but first reaction was like, oh shit, they actually made a move.
Yeah, it's funny, Jordan, that obviously Bulls fans last night and coming into Friday morning are just irate all over social media, yelling and screaming, oh my God, this is awful, we got hosed. And in the back of my mind, there's this snarky little dude thinking, Bulls fans have been clamoring for this rebuild for two seasons now. Like, they have been begging the front office to make a move and make up their mind and pick a direction instead of standing still with Jimmy Butler and wasting his prime years. Thursday night, they finally made a move. You have to give them credit for the fact that they mustered up the balls to make a decision. Now, to me, it's weird because it's like it's a double-edged sword. Yes, they made the right decision by pulling the trigger and trading Jimmy Butler to start a rebuild. But the pieces they got back to start that rebuild, in my opinion, are not great. Far from great, in my opinion.
What I saw at first, so when I first saw the deal and I saw Butler was going to the Timberwolves, I was like, all right, great. Well, at least we're going to get done. At least we're going to get LaVine. And then the seventh pick, hopefully they take somebody athletic that can shoot. And it's not to necessarily say that they didn't take somebody that isn't athletic or can't shoot. It's just a fact of the matter is a lot of people are saying that Markkanen's going to be a bust. But that's somebody that I feel like I'm highest on. The one thing that bothers me the most, I think, and I think bothers Bulls fans a lot, is Zach LaVine, which is probably the core piece to this trade, and that he's coming off an ACL injury, and that he's a restricted free agent after this season, and there's no guarantee that he stays with the Bulls.
Yeah, that's the big hang-up. Look, as soon as they made that trade and moved up to seven, And also, we're getting Chris Dunn in that package. You think, okay, they're bringing in Chris Dunn. They have Jaren Grant. They have Campaign. They're not, as much as I would have liked to see them take Dennis Smith Jr., the point guard out of NC State at 7, who was still on the board, it would have made no sense. As soon as they brought in Dunn in the trade and moved up to 7, I was like, well, they're going to take Lauri Markkanen. Like, that makes the most sense. A stretch 4 for Fred Hoiberg's pace and space offense. That makes sense. So that part I'm fine with. If that's who's there at 7 and that's the need, fine. Dunn, I was very underwhelmed with his rookie year. He didn't get a whole lot of minutes. Tibbs notoriously doesn't play his rookies a lot of minutes. But he's already 23 years old, and I don't know if his ceiling is even being a starting caliber point guard in the NBA after watching him in the minutes he did get his rookie year. LaVine, as you mentioned, I mean, he was borderline rising into a semi-all-star of sorts. I mean, he averaged close to 20 points per game last season. He's a solid shooting guard on the offensive end. Plays no defense whatsoever. That's going to be the biggest problem for this Bulls roster next year. Their defense is going to blow donkey nuts. But you brought it up. A, there's a concern about his torn ACL. And obviously, those two words together are nightmarish for Bulls fans. Fresh in our minds. And even more so than that, Jordan, you just mentioned it. He's only under contract for one more year. Is he really going to want to stick around Chicago in the early stages of a rebuild if he is young and talented? Let's say hypothetically he does come back strong from this ACL, plays well for the Bulls once he comes back, and then gets all kinds of offers in free agency a year from now. What's going to keep him around Chicago?
One thing
nothing.
That I think about, and which is not, it's not good for the Bulls. I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword. One, LaVine comes back, he's healthy, he plays well, he goes into restricted free agency, and the Bulls have to unload all that flexibility on him just to keep him around. I think that's a problem that the Bulls are going to run into if he's good. Now, if he turns around and he's not that healthy, he's inconsistent next year, you'd be able to bring him back, but then at that point, people are going to be saying, well, why the hell did you trade Jimmy Butler for a guy that can't stay healthy and isn't as good as we thought he was? So it's the same as... It's the same as talking about like bringing Nikola Mirotic back in the same way as we've waited on this guy. He's inconsistent, but you're just going to let him walk for nothing, and he could go for a range of 15 to 20 million per year again. Like, we don't know what his value is coming off this ACL injury, and I think that's a big fear for Bulls fans. As much as you want to see him play well next year, it's coming off that ACL injury, and then you're going to have to pay him. And then all that flexibility that this Bulls team supposedly is going to have next year. My other problem with it, too, was what star free agent, now that Jimmy Butler's not here, wants to come here in the middle of a rebuild? Like, they have all this flexibility now in 2018, but I can't see them landing a star unless they show something next year that is a promise, and that's asking a whole lot of Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and Lauri Markkanen, plus the guys that the Bulls drafted last year, to step up and actually show like that the Bulls have a legitimate shot at doing something with this team in the future.
Well, look, Jordan, I mean, I feel like that's a little bit misguided. It's not like they're going to try to take all this flexibility and use it to bring in a star right this summer. Like, that's clearly not happening. And it's probably not happening next summer either. They're talking, and like, this is something that, to his credit, Gar Forman spoke a lot about when he was doing an interview tour after the deadline, when the Bulls didn't trade Jimmy and basically did nothing other than that ghastly Taj and Doug trade with OKC. He was talking about freeing up cap space, not just to pursue free agents, but creating flexibility in the sense that they can take on other teams' bad contracts that they don't want and get picks and young prospects for it in return. So, it, you know, similar to a kind of deal you saw the Lakers and Nets pull off a day before the draft, where the Lakers shedded that awful contract of Timothy Mozgov that they didn't want, and Brooklyn took that on and added pieces for their future. So, look, if the Bulls want to take on a bad contract here or there over the next couple of years, while they're not going to be contending anyway, and use that cap space to pay bad contracts and stockpile draft picks, I'm okay with that. That, to me, is a part of Gar's plan that actually makes some logical sense.
Now, and you're pissed off as a Bulls fan that they gave Jimmy Butler, you feel like that they got fleeced, and in many ways, you could probably say, for the most part, they did. I mean, I think another big factor to this trade was having to give up that number 16 pick, which, to me, I felt like was should have been
awful.
A non-starter in a trade. Is like, you want one of our first-round picks after we're going to give you a top 15 player? I felt like that's a hang-up-the-phone moment. But in the same token, it makes me think, okay, Gar Forman and John Paxson sat on all of these rumors, you know, throughout the last few days, even throughout the last, like, 6 months, even a year. And maybe they felt panicked enough to where they were like, all right, if we're not going to get anything, if this is the best we're going to get now that teams are interested in other players, such as Kristaps Porzingis. You saw the Celtics moved on from the talks with Butler after they realized Porzingis was available. And some of these other young stars that were being floated around, Jimmy kind of was hung in the balance, and people weren't, it didn't seem like people were as excited to trade for Butler, and then all of a sudden I felt like the Bulls front office kind of panicked. And I'm not necessarily mad, again, with the players that the Bulls got, because that's essentially, you have to start somewhere, and even if the Bulls are so awful next year, at least we know they have a legitimate shot to get a top three pick. And at that point, then you bring in your future superstar, even if none of the three of the guys that you got for Butler now work out. But at least they picked a direction.
I mean, yeah. And as far as Bulls fans being upset with the return, I get it. It seems like when you take away the weird, unknowable term draft pick and actually apply the names to it. So the Bulls traded Jimmy Butler and Justin Patton for Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and Zach LaVine. That's the trade. That's what happened. And that's kind of gross. That's not obviously not equal value going both directions. The Bulls, on the surface, got fleeced in that deal. But what fans so often forget is that in the NBA, you never get equal value when you trade away a star. Never. That's why it took Garpak so long to make this trade, is because they were trying to get equal value for Jimmy Butler. But that just doesn't happen. Look at what the Kings got for DeMarcus Cousins at the deadline. I mean, it's nuts. You never get the equal value that you're looking for. And from various reports we heard last night and into this morning, Jordan, the Bulls were a little bit surprised by the lack of interest on the market for Jimmy Butler. And we also heard that the Celtics were not willing to negotiate if the Bulls wanted their number three pick this year or their 2018 Nets pick next year. So if the Celtics weren't willing to give away either of those, but the Wolves were willing to give a number seven pick and a couple of young guys, that's the best deal the Bulls had on the table. And clearly Gar and Paxson had gotten to the point where they said, this is it. We have to trade Butler now. We're not going to get any more for him if we hold on to him for another year. This is the highest selling point we will have for Butler. We've decided to make this rebuilding decision, so we'll take what we can get. It's sad. It sucks. But they did the best they could shitty situation.
As much as I'm infuriated with what they got in return, you're spot on. It makes sense that this front office almost panicked in. That's the other bad part about this. That's the other really shitty part about this, is that deals that were on the table for the Bulls 4 months ago or whenever, there was better deals than the one that the Bulls got right now. And I felt like after all this talk, and a lot of it for me goes back to thinking about what the front office told Butler at his season-ending press conference when he left, but then came back and had a meeting like about a week and a half, 2 weeks later. And it was pretty clear from what the front office had said and what Jimmy Butler had said that they weren't going to move him. And I think that in itself is bullshit too, because that just tells me that not only does the front office lie to its fans and keep everything hidden, they lie to their players too. Like, you lied straight up to your best player, your franchise player, telling him that he wasn't going to go anywhere.
No, Jordan, what you're misremembering things. The Bulls front office didn't tell Jimmy Butler flat out that they weren't going to trade him. They said that they highly valued what he brought to this ball club, But they also said in their season-ending press conference, we know how valuable Jimmy is, but we have to explore all options, and we have to have open phone lines and explore all possible scenarios. They never gave a guarantee of any kind that they weren't going
to
trade him.
If you listen to the comments, though, it sounded like, I guess you're right, but to me, as much as I think about what the front office has said over the past 3-4 years, the way that they've run this team, it sounded so consistent with them standing pat, and that's what we talked about in the last episode. So I was surprised that he was moved, and from the things that, like, even we can talk about this tweet later, but his trainer coming out and saying that they're a bunch of liars, that they're the worst mismanaged front office, and it was kind of like a slap to the face before they were out of town, which, okay, I get, but I think there's going to be more to this story that we don't know about that's going to come out in the next few days about exactly what did the Bulls tell Butler. So if that wasn't the case, if they didn't tell Butler, we're going to keep you and this is our plan moving forward, then I want to know what their explanation was to him at the end. Like, what did you tell him that, oh yeah, okay, again, you're maybe going to be on the market, maybe not, we don't know, we're going to just keep throwing you out in trade rumors for like the fourth season in a row. So I'm interested to see exactly what Jimmy says and says what the front office said to him before all this went down.
Well, I mean, I don't know if we'll ever get that kind of 100% truth from Jimmy Butler, because even if, and we heard, you know, he was hanging out in Paris with D. Wade last night while all this was going down, but some people were able to get in touch with Butler, who gave, you know, through 1 or 2 degrees of separation, some responses of, wow, I'm actually kind of shocked that they traded me, but, you know, I love Tibbs, and, you know, I'm excited about going to Minnesota. He will always speak highly of the Bulls. I don't see Jimmy Butler bad-mouthing the Bulls wherever he goes and whatever he does in the rest of his NBA career, because he honestly is very appreciative of the fact that they took a chance on him with the 30th pick in the 2011 draft when 29 teams before passed on him. I mean, he was a junior college kid. Nobody knew who Jimmy Butler was. Nobody wanted Jimmy Butler. People weren't fighting over Jimmy Butler. And, yeah, to his credit, he has earned everything he's gotten. He has been one of the hardest workers in the NBA and went from a defense-first role player off the bench to 3-time All-Star, this year All-NBA third team. Jimmy earned all that for himself, but the Bulls took a chance on him, and he will always be appreciative of that. And that's why I don't think, regardless of what happened in his, you know, exit interview with the front office, what was said, what wasn't said, if any promises were made, he won't ever divulge anything that he feels may have been a slight by the front office. His trainer, Travell Gaines, may run his mouth or run his Twitter mouth because he feels like he can, but Butler's got too much class to do that.
Earlier in this season, before the 2016 season, didn't Tom Thibodeau offer Jimmy Butler's trainer a job with the Timberwolves? Am I remembering that correct? I feel like I am. I feel like his trainer was offered a job with the Timberwolves full-time, and he turned it down or something. And that's why at the beginning of the season, we all thought, oh, there could be a possible reunion with Tibbs, like, early on in 2016.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah, that happened.
I don't know. I don't know what, yeah, like you said, I don't know what his trainer's bitching about, because now he's going to a team that clearly wanted his trainer, not only wanted his trainer, but wanted Butler, too. So, all right, so let's talk a little bit about the guys that we actually got. More specifically, let's talk about the guy that we got with number 7 in Lauri Markkanen. What's your thoughts on this guy as far as where the Bulls drafted him at number 7? Do you like this pick, or was there somebody else that you would have rather seen?
Look, I mean, if in some alternate universe the Bulls were able to take someone other than Chris Dunn in that package, I would have loved to see them take Dennis Smith Jr. at 7, because I think he can definitely be a very successful point guard, starting point guard in the NBA. But because they added another point guard to their already overcrowded backcourt via the trade, to me, taking a stretch 4 at 7 made the most sense for what the Bulls need and what Fred Hoiberg wants to do with this offense moving forward. And of the stretch 4s in this draft, I think Markkanen was the best one. I mean, like, maybe, I think Jonathan Isaac of Florida State went the pick before, right, to Orlando at number 6. I definitely wouldn't have minded if the Bulls went that direction, but Markkanen is going to be a great NBA shooter. He's already, I mean, people talked about him being maybe the best shooter, pure shooter, in this draft. So he's going to be a great stretch four for Fred Hoiberg. And I don't want to hear this bullshit from Bulls fans. Oh, he's just another Nico Mirotic. No, he's going to be better than Nico, which is why I don't know why the hell they're talking. Gar was on the radio earlier today, said, yep, we're definitely going to bring back Nico. Want Nico. Why? Why? That's, you know, another conversation. But Markkanen obviously has work to do on the defensive end. He is going to get eaten alive in pick and roll situations whenever he plays minutes as a rookie. He'll certainly have to develop that. But as far as his offensive skill set, not only can he shoot, I feel pretty good about his ability to run the floor. He can play above the rim. You know, we'll see what he can do on with the pick and roll on the offensive end, but that's really not like what he was drafted for. He was drafted to be a shooter and a slasher, and I think he can do that for the Bulls. And if you're, I mean, he shot 42-43% from downtown in his 1 year at Zona. And he said he's actually more comfortable shooting from a range that's like a foot behind where the three-point line in college is. Like, he said that in an interview either last night or this morning. So he's pretty confident he's going to be a great NBA three-point shooter.
Yeah,
that's exactly what this Bulls roster
needs. About this trade that you should like, I like this pick too. As much as, like, experts, let's be honest here for a second. Experts that are knocking the pick the Bulls took at Lauri Markkanen, they're saying, oh, it's an awful pick. Like, he's never going to develop in anything. How do these analysts know anything? Like, they talked about, remember, do we all remember one of the best players in the NBA, how they all overlooked him and said he was a shitty pick in Kawhi Leonard? He was all overlooked. Like, this happens all the time. Like, I'm saying, yeah, like, you don't know what this guy's going to be. And at least the Bulls finally decided to take a guy that is tall, lengthy, athletic, and like you said, most importantly, can shoot. This team had no shooting last year, and specifically had no three-point shooting last year. So if there's anything to be satisfied with, I would say taking a 20-year-old that's 7 foot, a wingspan of 7'3", and can knock down the three at 40-plus percent in the NBA, like if he can do that and translate that to the NBA, that's already better than what Nico is. And Nico's already had a ton of time in the NBA, and we've already seen what he is and what he isn't. And with this kid, you don't. And for me, too, it's another thing. What rookies have Fred Hoiberg been allowed to develop that sort of fit his system? Have we seen a rookie yet that he was been allowed to develop and say, you know what, we're going to give Fred a legitimate shot to try and develop this kid into a great player? He really hasn't had that type of player yet.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I definitely have been harsh about the lack of player development under Hoiberg in two seasons.
That,
if you talk about the... Yeah, because, I mean, Denzel Valentine had a bust rookie year. Bobby Portis has shown flashes, but really has been underwhelming through two seasons. I mean, Jaren Grant and Cam Payne, did they get any better under the tutelage of Fred Hoiberg? No. But none of these guys, like you said, are really Fred Hoiberg-type guys that he can mold into the kind of players that he wants. So, yeah, you can give Hoiberg a little bit of a pass for the lack of player development over the last 2 years and put some of that blame on the front office for possibly what looks like now to be poor drafting. Include Doug McDermott in that. But now the pressure is really on. Now that you don't have the Jimmy Butler can go out there and get you 10 to 15 wins by himself situation of a mediocre team, and this team is going to be bad next year. Don't get me wrong, they will be bad. Player development is utterly important, and that is what Gar and Paxson basically bet on. They bet on themselves and their coach Fred Hoiberg to be able to get this rebuild off in the right direction with these pieces they got from Minnesota, the kid they drafted from Zona, and the ability to develop these young players. And we have seen no evidence of this trio's ability to do that through their first 2 years together. So is it Hoiberg just needed the right pieces, and he's going to develop these young kids, and they'll turn into successful NBA players? I hope so, but I have less than 0% faith in their ability to do that based on recent events.
And this is why, like, if there's also another positive to look at after this trade, I feel like now is the window where truly Gar Forman and John Paxson should be on the hot seat. Like, we've talked about it before, and I feel like that was kind of stashed away because they had Butler, because they had a top 15 star. They were coming off of the Thibs and Noah era and Rose era, which bought themselves some time, and they bought themselves a little bit more time with Butler being so good. And now I think with a completely wiped team and having to restart from the backside, I feel like they're in a pressure cooker now to be able to, like you said, develop players and actually see if they can qualify to become a rebuilding team. And like you said, I don't think I have all the confidence in the world that John Paxson and Gar Forman are going to be able to fully reset this all and create a rebuild. And I think that's why maybe there was such hesitation to trade Jimmy for so long. Not only were they not getting the value they felt was necessary to get him for, but also maybe they don't trust themselves in a full rebuild. But now we're at that point. So another thing too, even if the Bulls are horrendous, which you said, and like I think they're going to be horrendous next year,
they're going to give up 150 points a game, Jordan,
and say, "All right, we're going to probably end up with a top three pick." And I it's sad to already be looking at 2018, but there's a handful
Michael Porter, baby. Michael Porter.
I also said Miles Bridges, too, who went back to Michigan State for another year. I think he's going to be a lottery pick next year, too. And he...
Or like Hamidou Diallo, yes, the kid from Kentucky who decided to go back for another year. Like, there's going to be some interesting pieces in the 2018 draft.
As much as you want to, you're going to probably call into every Chicago sports station today and over the next course of the next 2 weeks and scream and yell. And you have all the right in the world to do that. Take a deep breath. Think about what the Bulls have now. Think about what they could possibly get in 2018 that will fully restart your rebuild. Right now, I feel like this is the very, very we're not in the perfect situation as a restart, but at least they made a decision to finally do this in 2018. Something maybe you can say, all right, we're going to get a top three player.
Look, think about it this way, Jordan, and all those Bulls fans listening. I'm a big movie buff. I don't know about you. Tom Hanks movie, Castaway, right? Where he gets stranded on that desert island or that rock island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. There's that one scene where he's in the cave and he's like talking to Wilson or, having a one-sided conversation with Wilson the volleyball. And he's like, look, I'd rather take my chances out there on the ocean than sit here and die on this godforsaken rock talking to this goddamn volleyball. The Bulls, in their up until trading Jimmy Butler for the past few seasons, were Tom Hanks on that rock in the middle of the ocean talking to a goddamn volleyball. They were going nowhere. They were doing nothing. They were just barely surviving. Now, at least, they have decided to build a raft and take their chances out in the open ocean. That is the best analogy that I can come up with as far as where the Bulls are now. And I have a little bit of respect for the fact that they decided to build that raft and take their chances out on the open ocean. The problem that I still have as we look towards this new phase, this new era for the Chicago Bulls and the rebuild that we're about to watch, is that Gar and Paxson are still the ones who are steering that raft out in the open ocean. And I have no faith in their navigating abilities.
Just to show you that I feel like now that we look at this Bulls team and it's just like, okay, two guys that couldn't figure it out with a top 15 player, couldn't figure out how to draft players and how to put players around Butler to make him the most successful. That's the scariest part, is now we're giving two guys in the front office who haven't had a whole lot of success over the last few years try and develop, and two guys who've missed on six straight picks, and we don't know about this one, the jury's still out on Lauri Markkanen, but have missed on six straight picks. So, like you said, the rebuild is in their hands, which is, I'm with you, is the scariest part of all of this. But I think, for me, it's I'm going back, and I'm honestly not as angry as a lot of other Bulls fans, and which is a surprise. If you've listened to this show or seen me on Twitter, I'm a very angry Bulls fan, and I was a very angry Bulls fan for a long time. But I'm not as mad as some other Bulls fans who say you got fleeced for Jimmy Butler and, you know, you didn't get the right pieces to come back. And then you drafted this guy that a lot of people are saying is going to be nothing. Well, you know what? I'm not as mad about that because, it could be worse. It could be two situations. One, you pay Jimmy Butler a shitload of cash in talking like $246 million for 5 or 6 years, and you'll never win a championship with that. I'm sorry. If Jimmy Butler stayed in Chicago, he was never going to win a championship. This team was never going to win a championship. So to meddle in mediocrity the way the Bulls had for the last 3 or 4 seasons, that wasn't any more fun than watching a team that's going to be terrible this year and with the hopes of getting a lottery pick. Like it's a double-edged sword. So you have to pick one or the other, and I was done with the Bulls being mediocre.
Yeah, that's what it was. I mean, Bulls fans who keep whining about them getting fleeced, like, yes, it's a bad deal. They didn't get equal value. But as I said earlier, nobody ever does get equal value for an NBA star in a trade. Get over it. Quit your freaking whining and realize, wake up, that never happens. You don't get equal value in a trade of a star. And the Bulls were just going to sit there treading water with Jimmy Butler, winning them, 10 or 15 or 20 of their games in a 41-41 season. And for another 2 years, when they get to the point where they say, oh, crap, now Jimmy Butler's 30, and we have to decide if we want to pay him $250 million for the seasons when he is between the ages of 30 and 35. I'm sorry, Jimmy Butler is a great player, and he has more prime years ahead of him, at least 2 or 3. But were they willing to make that kind of commitment to Butler? Based on everything we heard from them, they never really believed that Jimmy was the number one piece on a championship team. And if you don't want to pay that guy $250 million, sell him for what you can get right now. Should they have done this a year ago? Yeah, they probably should have. But instead, they decided to buy Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo for some weird-ass Dr. Frankenstein experiment that we all could see from a mile away was going to crash and burn. So, yeah, you made that mistake, and now you realize that didn't work. It's time to make a decision. So as upset as Bulls fans are today, I get it. I understand. You're mad about the trade itself. But the trade had to happen. Don't fret the details. The rebuild had to happen. And now at least we've come to that point. Gar and Paxton have come to that point.
I think another thing to note, too, is now it's not Fred Hoiberg, or it's not Gar Foreman and John Paxson going out and signing second-tier, third-tier supposed stars in this league to help Butler, which we all knew is not going to happen. We knew next year or whenever they're going to have this flexibility that they had talked about so much. We knew that wasn't going to be a possible. I don't think, and I'm still don't think that any top free agent was going to come here to be legitimately competitive with Jimmy Butler. As much as I think players love Butler, and they do around this league, and think he is a wonderful player, love him as a person, I don't see him being able to, even as much and as charismatic as he is and being able to recruit, I just don't think it would be possible. Like we'd said, this front office is not exactly the most highly respected around the league. Like, why would star players want to come to Chicago to do that? And so that's where, and we've seen it. There's already been proof. Like, the Bulls can't rein in free agents, big-time free agents, even when you've got top 15 talent on your team already. So we've seen that. So what's the point of waiting around and hoping if you're a Bulls fan that didn't want Butler to be moved? What's the point of waiting around next year to the point where, okay, you miss out on all these big free agents, then you'd be bitching about how the Bulls didn't move him this year. So it's...
Yeah, Bulls fans, you can't have it both ways. I mean, it seemed like the majority of Bulls fans who are interactive, everyday Bulls fans on Twitter, watching the games every night, the problem was we have no interest in watching this three alphas team because they're going to be 500. Maybe they'll make the playoffs, maybe they won't, but it's not a good fit. It's not going to be a good team. So people who are crying about trading Butler, it's like, did you change your mind and want to watch that again next season? Did you want to watch Butler, Wade, and Rondo again next season go 41-41 and lose in the first round? Is that really what you wanted? Yeah, I guess that's slightly more exciting come spring than you know, having a team that is clearly nowhere close to sniffing the playoffs. But hey, heads up, that's what the first phase of a rebuild is. You gotta suck for a while. And it was clear that Paxson in particular was very hesitant to make that move because he was talking about, you know, we've gone through the rebuild before after Jordan left. It took us a long time, damn near took us 10 years. You have to make that commitment and be prepared to deal with it, and you're not going to make that commitment and sell your best player just to do it. They clearly came to the realization that that was their best option. So, Bulls fans, if you were whining all season long about, man, this Butler-Wade-Rondo trio is dumb, and I hope we don't have to do this again next season, you got your wish.
I'm one of those people complaining. I got the wish, and like I'm not mad. I'm not mad, and I'm more happy, too, for Jimmy Butler. Like I said before, he wasn't going to win here. He was not going to win a championship. As much as you're Bulls fans out there, as much as you're going to try to convince yourself that there was a possibility, no, there was no possibility that Jimmy Butler was going to win anything with this Bulls team. And I'm so glad that he didn't have to meddle the rest of his entire career here in Chicago with a team that wasn't going to win. Now he's actually going to be with a Timberwolves team that has amazing pieces, has a top five player already on their team for a long time. Like, I'm so glad he went to the Timberwolves because I think that's that's one of the best fits for him. And being around young stars, a.k.a. Wiggins and Cat, I think this is good. And now, like, Bulls fans, if you don't want to watch garbage basketball, go and watch the Timberwolves for a while, for a few years. Be a Timberwolves fan for a little bit.
Oh, I am all because on that Timberwolves board, Jordan. Because a lot of Bulls fans are
Tibbs fans, too. So I mean, they're going to be like, all right, reunion.
Like, Bulls fan till the day I die, first and foremost. Like, I'm going to suffer through this rebuild. I'm gonna tune in probably every night. I'm going to probably watch close to 82 games next season because that's what I did when they tore the dynasty apart in 98. I watched in 99 and 2000 and 2001, all of those awful teams. I watched because that's how big of a Bulls fan I am. But if you're talking about all of a sudden maybe finding yourself a second favorite team that's over in the Western Conference, I love Jimmy Butler, and I love Tom Thibodeau. I still, like, I have wet dreams about Tom Thibodeau. I mean, I am a heterosexual male, but I have wet dreams about Tom Thibodeau. No shame in admitting that. I cannot wait to watch Butler play with that young core. And, you know, Tibbs was making the rounds on radio shows Friday morning, and he kept talking about how excited he was to get Jimmy Butler's defensive presence on that Minnesota team. And cracking the whip, so to speak, for those young Minnesota players. So now, Tibbs and Butler can gang up on the guys who maybe defense isn't their first priority and say, hey, defense wins championships. You want to talk about how powerful the Golden State Warriors offense is? How about you don't forget to talk about how damn good the Warriors defense has been over the last couple of years?
Speaking of the Warriors,
that is important.
So let's talk about the rest of what the Bulls did in this draft, because I think this is more infuriating than anything else.
Oh, my God. The second round pick. Gar has no regard for second round picks. The latest piece of evidence.
Your second move in a rebuild after trading Jimmy Butler is getting rid of a pick, which, honestly, Jordan Bell was a steal at 38. Like, I for sure thought he was going to be a first round pick. For sure. 100%. And he somehow fell to the Bulls at 38, and then you sold him for cash. Cash in a rebuild. Cash in a rebuild. Who does that?
Look, I mean, it's dumb. But what Bulls fans on the surface aren't understanding here, it's not like the Bulls drafted Jordan Bell
right,
and then quickly decided to trade him to the Warriors for cash. The Bulls didn't scout Jordan Bell. The Bulls didn't work out Jordan Bell. He was not their pick, who then they decided to flip for cash. The Bulls and Warriors agreed. The Warriors were like, we'll give you this cash, draft Jordan Bell for us. So that's what happened. It's not like the Bulls wanted this guy and then decided, no, we'd rather have the cash. So just for Bulls fans thinking that they're really stupid by doing that, no, they didn't actually draft Jordan Bell because they wanted Jordan Bell. That's not the case. I will say two things on top of that. $3.5 million. That set an NBA record for most cash considerations given to a second-round draft pick. NBA record. So it's not like the Bulls just took some cash. That was an NBA record amount of money given to them for the second-round pick, Jordan Bell. So that's in their defense. It's not chump change. Big money. However, if you're rebuilding, why are you trading away that pick for cash? Why? They said there wasn't any of all of the wings that we were interested in taking in the second round had gone off the board. Kansas State's Wesley Awundu, who I had on my Bulls board, had been taken, I believe, just one or two picks before. He's one of the guys that they were probably looking at. And they said, like, when it came to us at 38, we didn't necessarily, looking at our roster and our depth chart, we didn't want to add another big. We rather would have saved that roster spot. That's what Gar said on the radio this morning. Even if you didn't love any of the bigs that were there, obviously Jordan Bell is valued in this league. The Warriors just gave you $3.5 million for him. If you don't see him as a piece of your core, draft the best player there and use him as trade bait. Get a pick. Get something. To me, it's just like you're starting a rebuild. You're not giving away picks. That makes no sense.
It's famous for, like, the Bulls gave up a second-round pick, too, in that deal, that awful deal with McDermott. So it's like you said, they have no regard for second-round picks. It's funny, yeah, Wesley Awundu went to the Magic at 33, and then obviously a guy that a lot of the Bulls fans thought and laughed about and made jokes that they were going to take in the second round, Frank Mason, he went to the Kings at 34. And so you're right, that's what I heard too, is that there was wing players that were athletic that they didn't fall to them at 38 that they felt like were going to be there. And that's a good point too to bring up about the cash considerations, first breaking an NBA record, second that the Bulls didn't technically draft him. But like you said, you shouldn't be giving up picks in the second round when you're starting a rebuild. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. But I will say this. All right, if Gar wants to keep the roster spot open, then what are you going to do? Go work out a bunch of these guys that didn't get drafted, see what they're going to do in summer league? Is that what you're going to do?
Come on. Come on, Jordan. Come on, Jordan. Read between the lines. You know who that open roster spot is for. That guy Milos Teodosic over there playing overseas. He's clearly like, okay, Gar was on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 earlier Friday morning, and Cap asked him about Milos, and Gar was like, well, you know, technically I'm not allowed to talk about free agents yet because we haven't entered that period that starts July 1st. Because clearly Cap was like, all right, well, you just told me that you would have rather had an open roster spot than take another pick in the second round. What's your plan? P.S. Talk to me about this Milos Teodosic guy. So, I mean, that's who the roster spot is for. Obviously. obviously, that's who the roster spot is for, Jordan.
A
29-year-old
in a fucking rebuild. Seriously? Like, if that's the move that they make and they go pay that guy for multiple years, that's an even more idiotic move. Like, now it's even more idiotic. Like, why? Like, you're in a rebuild. You want guys that are under 25. Not number one players from Europe that nobody's ever fucking watched.
No, I get that. But the people who have watched have glowing recommendations of this guy. Like, people are talking about him like he's the best passer ever in basketball, or not ever, but like in this era of people playing basketball right now, either in the NBA or elsewhere, he is the best passer in the world. That's what people are saying. You want a really great passer who can push the floor and find open shooters in Fred Hoiberg's offense? Maybe that's your guy. Look, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I mean, I'm not excited about the Bulls bringing this guy in, but I know that Bulls fans, there's been a lot of negativity about bringing in players, international players, because not necessarily all of them have paid off. Most recently, Niko Mirotić looks like a huge disappointment after how much he was hyped. But if the talk isn't just talk and it's for real, then yeah, maybe this Teodosic guy can find himself a purpose on this Bulls team.
As we're recording this, he's making his rounds on the radio. He's on 670 right now, and this comment just came up on my feed. It says, Gar Forman floats the idea heavily of taking a team's bad contract in the future with an asset attached with an open roster spot not used in the second round of this year. So, you're
boom.
Right.
Boom. What did I say,
so,
Jordan,
does that mean
right there?
That they're going to try and take on a bad contract to get another young asset this summer? Is that what that means? What's out there,
yeah,
though?
Probably. If there are teams out there this summer who were gunning for free agents, big name free agents and are trying to free up the cap space to do it and have certain bad contracts existing currently on their payroll, the Bulls could be in position to take one of those and get some assets in return. I mean, like, from a logical standpoint, that does make sense.
I'm curious, though, like, what bad contracts on teams, and maybe we'll have to do this, like, in the next couple days, but I'm curious to see what bad contracts are on teams that also have an asset that they could trade to fill that. Like, I'm curious to see which teams have, like, and what player you would even be getting.
Well, I mean, like, the Spurs seem really hot about moving LaMarcus Aldridge
because
they want to bring in
CP3
or maybe another big name. Yeah, right? Bulls fans can finally get LaMarcus Aldridge, who apparently, I mean, there's a lot of talk about Aldridge the last couple days leading up to the draft, Spurs trying to move him. There are also some reports saying, like, he actually was requesting a trade, and maybe there's some character issues there. I'm sorry. Like, I know that the Spurs fell short, but they were up 25 on the Warriors before Kawhi got hurt. They're clearly the second-best team in the league, not the Western Conference, the league. And you are coached by Greg Popovich, the modern-day best coach in the NBA, will go down as one of the best NBA coaches ever. You want to trade away from that team? What the hell's the matter with you? So, I mean, whatever the hell's going on in LaMarcus Aldridge's head, hey, you know, like, I welcome to Chicago, I guess, if they want to swing a trade and take on his contract to pursue other free agents, namely CP3 over there in San Antonio. But that's the kind of thing that I think that Gar is talking about. And I don't know. I mean, Spurs actually have a couple of decent young guys. Maybe they'd be willing to let one go. But I don't care if it's a young guy or a draft pick. But if you want to take on somebody else's bad contract to gain assets that will help your rebuild, fine, do it. But to go back, do not trade away a draft pick on draft night, you stupid fuck.
I think the scariest thing with the LaMarcus Aldridge thing is, too, or taking on a bad contract for possibly a super, like, not a superstar, but, like, a decent player. Like, I feel like LaMarcus Aldridge isn't done in this league either. I feel like he's stupid, number one, for not wanting to be a part of the Spurs team. But I think in the second notion, too, I don't think he exactly likes the style that they were playing, and that maybe he wasn't getting enough touches and whatever he was complaining about. But the frustrating thing is, if you do bring in bad contract guys, are those the guys that we're going to see be, like, starting on the floor? Like, if a LaMarcus Aldridge came to the Bulls this season, he would probably be starting on a Bulls team. But that frustrates me, too, because the whole point of a rebuild is I want to see the young guys on the floor. I want the young guys to get legitimate opportunity to develop and make mistakes in this league to develop better. Like, that's what I want when they're doing a rebuild, not you bringing in these other guys for flexibility so we have to wait even longer. I want to see the young guys immediately.
Yeah. No, you know what would be a hilarious, this has finally come full circle scenario, Jordan? Talking about taking on bad contracts. I'm going to float a name out there. Bulls fans know very well. What if the Bulls talk to the Lakers about taking Luol Deng's contract?
Could you imagine,
which is disgusting.
Outrage?
Bring Luol back just as the Bulls finally capitalize.
They got $3.5 million
on Luol it. They traded away, but their 38th pick that they gave to Golden State for $3.5 million was the pick from Sacramento that finally closed the Luol Deng trade that never materialized into the first round pick that the Bulls were hoping for. And so what if by trading that to Golden State for money and having an open roster spot, they talk to LA, take on Deng's contract, and he fills the roster spot that was vacated by the pick they were supposed
to
get for Luol Deng 5 years
ago. Straight to the United Center and burn the whole place down.
That is a hilarious Gar and Paxson, just literally like one oar in the open ocean.
I honestly
just
might,
like,
have to cut that out of the audio because that is probably an idea that's stirring in their heads, and they're like, oh, wait, you know, Luol Deng? Yeah, let's get him back. Those fans loved him when he was here. Yeah, we loved him first of all, you shouldn't have traded him away at that point, and then you got nothing. You got $3.5 million for him 6 years later after you traded him. Like, that would be, like, I would not even be surprised if they did something stupid like that. But as we wrap this up, so we kind of, I hope we could have been a little bit more therapeutic here. We do say that we are your Chicago Bulls therapy podcast. So I think as far as like everybody giving the Bulls like the becoming the biggest losers, and I think if they didn't trade away their second round pick, they probably wouldn't have fell into that conversation. Even with trading away their number 16 pick, I don't honestly think that if you're a Bulls fan, like you said, a diehard Bulls fan, or even somebody just from Chicago that loves the Bulls, from an outsider's perspective, I can see why a lot of people said the Bulls lost out on this and that they traded Butler away. But that's from such a macro standpoint looking at the Bulls. When you're coming in and you watch this team every day like we do and we follow this team, it made the most sense for the Bulls to do that. And that's what a lot of Bulls fans have been asking for. So you kind of got your wish in that. And that's why I'm not that mad. I'm really not that mad about it, because one, Jimmy Butler's career is not wasted, because I loved him as a player and I love him anywhere he goes now, unless that's Cleveland or teaming up with LeBron. And two, I wanted them to just hit the reset button, just like the White Sox. Like, the White Sox obviously got a way better haul for Chris Sale than the Bulls got for Jimmy Butler. But I was glad when the Sox stopped meddling and trying to build on the fly and they finally got a direction. They actually are getting people to go to games now, and people are excited about the White Sox because of the moves that they're making. So I'm hoping in some wild aspect that Gar Forman and John Paxson, if they are the guys that are leading this rebuild, can finally do something like the Sox did to make this exciting for fans. And fans should be excited. At least we got a top 10 guy in Lauri Markkanen. Like, if you don't like anything else about what they did last night, then at least you got Lauri Markkanen, and that's a guy that's 20 years old and could possibly develop into a wonderful player.
Yeah. Look, I mean, just to quickly touch over all of the things of last night, you know, do I love Zach LaVine? No, I'm worried about his ACL. Do I love Chris Dunn? No, underwhelmed by his rookie season. Lauri Markkanen? Yeah. Where they were picking at 7, it makes sense. For Fred Hoiberg's offense, it makes sense. Do I not like the fact that I had to give away the 16th pick as part of this deal? Yeah. I hate that. Do I like the fact that they traded away their second round pick for cash when they're starting a rebuild? No, I hate that. However, and I'm going to give you a quote here from Gar Forman, who was just on 670 The Score on Friday afternoon. If we're talking about looking into a small window, Jimmy Butler is the best player. We're not looking into a small window. For those of you upset about the return for Jimmy Butler, for those of you upset about trading Butler at all, please, for the love of God, look at the big picture. You want to pay Jimmy Butler $250 million from age 30 to 35? Is that really what you want to do? No. He's got 2 years left on his contract. Whatever they got from Minnesota was going to be the most they could get for him when they needed to finally press that rebuild button. I know it's going to be hard. You got to look on the bright side. You cannot trash people giving the front office F grades for their draft last night. Yeah, they didn't get a great haul for Butler, but in the long run, they made the right decision. And Bulls fans, I'll say it again. I know it's going to be hard. And I still have very little faith in the front office or the head coach making the right moves from here forward. But for where they were last night, looking ahead, big picture,
I'm with you.
And they made the right call.
If you've listened to this podcast at all, you know how harsh we are in the front office. And you know how much we are frustrated with the front office. And for me to come out and say that I'm not that mad at them for what they did and for the moves that they made, like, that's like, you should be sitting there and telling yourself, all right, like you said, big picture here, think about what's down the road. And that's, I think Bulls fans didn't necessarily kind of process that in their mind, that, oh shit, the Bulls are actually going to pull the trigger on this, and we are going to be in the midst of a rebuild. And it's true. Like, the Bulls are going to be bad for 3 to 5 years before we see anything, and 3 being the very earliest that you hit on Lauri Markkanen, and he is a true star. And Zach LaVine recovers great. His ACL is fine. Chris Dunn was just overlooked in his rookie year because he was under Thibs, and he actually is a great point guard for the future. Like, those are positives to think about, and not necessarily saying that that's all going to pan out the way that we want it to, but ultimately, you're just going to have to sit back, relax, and find some kind of enjoyment in this ride and hope that, like I said, next year is the year the Bulls end up back in the top three and find a player, like we said, like Michael Porter Jr. or Miles Bridges or somebody to that caliber that you can add to this roster that will be great. So I'm not that mad. And if I had to give the front office a grade, it would probably be like a C minus. I'm not going to give them a D or an F just because the fact that they actually pulled the move off to trade Jimmy Butler, which I 100% didn't think they were going to do.
Yeah, you have to give him some credit. I would agree. I'll give him a C. Maybe even just because I'm feeling nice and trying to feel optimistic about all this as I head into my weekend, give him a C+. Because Bulls fans have been screaming their heads off for years about a lack of direction. They have a direction now. It's certainly far off on the horizon somewhere, but at least there's a direction. I mean, it's pressure's on him to execute from here on out with all these young players. The pressure is on now that they've made a direction and decided on it and are working towards it. But it's better than talking to a volleyball on a godforsaken rock in the middle of the ocean.
Well, I think that's going to about do it. Thank you so much for listening to our emergency podcast. I hope we calmed your nerves a little bit here talking about this NBA draft. And this is going to be very interesting now going into the summer. You finally have some assets to look at and see what is possibly going to be the future of the Bulls. So as more stuff comes out, obviously we will be back talking about this. We want to talk about possible moves that the Bulls are going to make, like now what we said with the open roster spot, some of the flexibility. And it's even going to be interesting to see if Dwayne Wade really does still commit. I don't know if I'm 100% still committed to thinking that he's going to be here, but that's a conversation that we can have in a week or a couple weeks from now. So, but you can follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley and at Bulls_Peck. You can get all of our content at almightyballer.com. Remember, we're live on Dash Radio every Thursday, 6 to 7 a.m. and 11 to noon Central Time. Follow us on Twitter. Download us. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Tell your friends about it. Download the Dash Radio app. But for Jordan Malley and Matt Peck, I hope you enjoyed this trade, and we are finally in a rebuild. We finally have a direction. We will see you sometime next week. Have a great weekend.
Will you stop it?
Yo, never lost one-on-one. That don't make any sense.
I remember at nights I would come in the gym. You know, I'm thinking of by myself, and I look up, and I see P on the treadmill.
What? Everybody used to say, who's the best? Michael Jordan or LeBron?
Who did you think was the best?
They said,
who did you think
was the best? Kobe or LeBron?
Who did you think was the best?
Guess what the story is now? Who's better, LeVar or Michael Jordan?
Nobody think about no damn LeVar.
Show some good nuggets. Good thing somebody told you them.
That's not the first time you've said those are some good nuggets either.
The Debatables, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories of the week. The Debatables, live on Dash Radio every Thursday. New episodes available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and at almightyballer.com.